bring a blessing this way. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning into Psalm 103, and it's good to have everyone with us this morning. Trust you're looking for something from the Lord. He has something for you this morning if you're seeking and you're desiring and you want Him to minister to you. He will this morning. In Psalm 103, very familiar passage of Scripture, should be to most children of God. One I really like and one of my favorites. Back in 68, verse 19, he said, blessed be the Lord that loadeth us daily with benefits. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the benefits of being a child of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the blessings that He gives. If you found Psalm 103, we'd invite you to stand this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Psalm 103, verse number 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Thanksgiving just a few days away, and you know, sometimes it's really a struggle for us to get into the frame of true Thanksgiving. We go through the motions. It's a holiday. It's a time when we get rushing about and thinking about all the things that has to be done and all the preparations that need to be made for the big dinner that we're going to have. But, you know, we need to take some time and reflect upon what we are actually celebrating and why it is that we call this day Thanksgiving. You know, the psalmist, he looked back over his life and he realized all the times that God's hand and His good mercies and His loving kindness had been upon him. And he penned the words to this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Church, today, as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, I want you to get yourself into a frame of mind where you celebrate Thanksgiving from deep down within and not just from an external standpoint. Truly thankful. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. David didn't want his praise. He didn't want these blessings. He didn't want these things that he was saying and proclaiming just to be some superficial words, some superficial actions that he was taking place, but he wanted it to come from the depths of his soul. Amen. That's where worship needs to come from. That's where praise needs to come from. That's where the church needs to get excited and get on fire and get burning from the Lord, because it needs to come from deep within. And if it comes from deep within, praise God, when it comes out and it becomes external, it becomes powerful to the point that it gives God the honor that's due Him. Now I tell you what, y'all can be a quiet bunch sometime. Amen. But I tell you what, David says we need to learn to praise. And we need to learn to let it get out. I'm just going to tell you this. There's two ladies sitting in this church that can vouch what I'm saying right now. A lady that had been coming to this church said, I want to tell you something. Said, Dennis is a good preacher, but that bunch he preaches to is just dead. Am I lying? Amen. Are you dead? I didn't think so. Amen. I didn't think so. But you know what? We need to quit suppressing. We need to quit internalizing. We need to quit allowing the Satan, allowing people around us, allowing this world to keep us from praising God the way that He needs to be praised. David said, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, I've heard you folks get excited about things. I've heard you folks outside of the house of God. You can hoot and you can holler and you can shout the house down when it comes down to things that are exciting you. David Eve, it was getting excited about what God has done. We need to get excited about what Jesus has done in our life, and we need to let go and start praising God the way that He needs to be praised. Amen. David said, we got a reason to praise. We got a reason to give glory. We got a reason to lift up our voices. He says, the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. You know, God is in the midst of our praise, and we want Him to show up in our services. We want Him to show up and be in our midst and stir our hearts. Well, how do we get Him to show up? Praise His name. Amen. Let's praise His name this morning. Amen. Let's be thankful for what He's done. Let's be thankful for what He's doing. Let's be thankful for what we know He's going to do in our lives, and give Him the praise that's due His name this morning. Amen. I see y'all done got quiet again. Amen. Y'all done climbed right back up. Amen. Let's just get this thing on, preacher. Dinner's on. You know, dinner's on. We want to get on with it. Let's praise God for a while. You know, before you can praise, you got to get to the place where David was. Let all that's within me. We must think before we can thank. We must ponder before we can praise. And we must remember before we can rejoice. And I tell you what, if you want to get into the place of worshiping God and thanking Him and celebrating Thanksgiving this year in a way that it really needs to be celebrated, stop and think about what God has done for you. Has God done anything for anyone here? Amen. You got something to thank Him about. Do you remember the times when there was no way and God made a way? Amen. You got something to thank Him for. Amen. When you ponder all that He's done for you, how could you not praise His name for His goodness, His mercies, and His glory? I tell you what, David said, we got something to be thankful about, and we need to let it get out. Amen. And it needs to come from deep within our hearts. It's not lip service. It needs to be soul service. It's not lip service. It needs to be heart service. It's not lip service. It needs to be mind service. All that is within me, praise the Lord. Amen. He said, look, let me tell you why we got something to praise Him about. Five things here. David in Psalm 103 begins off with a personal call, a personal reason to praise. And then he goes on and he gives a national reason to praise. And then he finishes up the chapter with a universal reason to praise. But we're going to look at these first few verses here and five things that David talks about. That gives us something to be thankful about when we celebrate this Thursday, and to make our children, to make our families, to make those who will sit at our table and partake of us a meal with us, to realize and know why we're serving and why we're celebrating this meal. We're thankful. First Thanksgiving meal celebration was in 1621. Let me tell you something. These people had been through a horrendous experience. That first year, several died just from malnutrition. Several died just from sheer exposure. Several of them died from disease for which they had no means to fight and to cure, because they didn't have anything with them. But yet, they realized in the midst of all this that God's hand had been upon their life. God had watched over them and kept them, and they had something to celebrate. They had a reason to be thankful, and they celebrated. Verse number 3. The psalmist says, well, let's go back, read down to number 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Is there anybody here this morning? Anybody can testify this morning? Anybody can praise God this morning? Anybody can worship this morning? Because you have found forgiveness at the throne of God. You have found forgiveness in the mercies of God. You have found forgiveness when you couldn't even forgive yourself. Praise God. You came to Him and you found forgiveness. Amen. And you don't have to deal, and you don't have to live with, and you don't have to be bound by the guilt of sin any longer, because you have found forgiveness for all thine iniquities. Amen. I'm glad He forgives us for all our iniquities. Amen. I'm glad He don't just forgive Brother Joe for the sins that he commits, and He won't forgive me for the sins that I commit. I'm glad He don't just forgive Sister Connie, but won't forgive Brother Reeves. Reeves, amen. I'm glad that He forgives us of all our iniquities. I'm glad He's impartial. I'm glad He don't look at us and see one this way and one that way. When He looks at me, He sees a sinner in need of mercy. When He looks at me, He's seen one that was helpless and one that was on his way to a devil's hell, and praise God, when He looked at me, He said, I need to send my son to die for that individual, that he wouldn't have to go to a place called hell, who would shed His precious blood, who would be the propitiation, who would satisfy and appease the demand of God for sin, and I found forgiveness. Praise God. His word says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, but praise God, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise His name. Has anyone here this morning, I've been forgiven? Can you testify? Amen. I'm glad this morning that He forgives us. Amen. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, you can be thankful for this one fact today, tomorrow, and the next day, that God forgives sin. Amen. Amen. Paul said He forgave me, who is the chiefest of sinners. Amen. Praise God. He'll forgive you of your sin. Whosoever will. The universal cry, the universal forgiveness of sin, not just for this group or that group, but for whosoever. Amen. Praise His name this morning. And He says, and He healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Brother Gross, I loved your testimony. Amen. I loved your testimony this morning. Amen. You know, when we learn to allow God to deal with our lives and to meet the needs in our lives, we find exactly what we meet, what we need. Amen. When we need it. Amen. I know there's people here that can tell you they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the healing that came their way had to have come from God, because it could come from no other place. Here a few weeks ago, we brought some miracles of the grace of God. We brought some miracles of God's healing hand up before the church and let you see some modern day miracles when no one else could figure out what was going on, and the doctors say there's no other explanation for it. We don't know what to say. I know what it is. It was the healing hand of God that touched. But God touches this physical body, and I don't care how well He heals. It's only temporal. It's only temporary. Don't worry. One day you're going to get over it. Amen. Because this old body is still going to decay. This old body is still going to die. This old body is still going to fade away. Praise God. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Brought him back from the dead. 4 days dead. Amen. There wasn't no mistaking. They were worried when they rolled the stone away that he was going to be stinking because he had been 4 days dead. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come forth. I believe in my heart. That has to be one of the angriest men in the whole Bible. Amen. To have left this world to be in paradise and to have to come back to all this. Amen. He left the glory world. He left the other world to come back to this world. Now that would make me just plumb mad. How about you? Amen. But you know what? Lazarus still had to die again. Amen. Lazarus still had to die again. I'm thankful that he heals our diseases. I'm thankful that he touches our bodies. I'm thankful for what God has done. But in Psalm 147, the psalmist penned these words. Verse number 3, he healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. The greatest travesty, the greatest tragedy, the greatest wound that was ever laid unto man was the day that his heart was separated from fellowship with God. Amen. We're thankful for the physical healings. We're thankful for the things that we see that God has done, and we know that it had to be God. Amen? It had to be God, because God does what God does, and God does it in the way that God does it, and there's no mistaking when God does it. Amen? But praise God, he healeth the broken in heart. Amen? The heart that is separated from God. The heart that sin has tainted. The heart that sin has tarnished. The heart that has been drawn away. Sometimes we need to come to the realization that there's nothing else that we can do. There's nothing more that can be done. And we just need to go to Jesus and let Jesus meet the need that we have. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that he heals and he cures and he binds up that wounded heart. Amen. And he restores it. And he restores fellowship. And he brings it back to where it needs to be. I'm thankful, children of God, that when we sin and our fellowship has been broken and our heart's not right with God, praise God, again and again and again and again, he mends and he heals that broken heart, and he binds it up and he prepares it for another time to worship and to praise. Another reason that we can look back and we can reflect on the times that we found forgiveness, the times that we found healing for our heart. Anybody ever had a broken heart spiritually, a broken heart? You know what it's like. Excuse me. And there's nothing like going to Jesus. Amen. And finding that healing balm of Gilead. Amen. That restores our soul. That brings joy back to our life. That brings peace. Because we know that we're not ours, we're his. He says in verse number 4 here, I think it is, verse number 4, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and with tender mercies. I want you to know something this morning. The word redeem means that he paid a price. It means you were bought. It means that it was something that you were unable to do, and God has done it for you. He's redeemed us from the curse of sin. Amen. He's redeemed us from bondage. If a slave was in bondage, he could be redeemed for 30 pieces of silver. There was a price that was set upon a slave. If a slave was able to work and wanted to redeem himself and wanted to buy and purchase himself out of bondage, there was a price that could be paid to get him out of bondage. But the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You know what? This morning, when I couldn't do anything to get myself out of the situation I was in, God paid the horrible and terrible and awful price that it took to redeem me from the curse of sin, to redeem me from destruction. And praise God this morning, if I don't have anything else to praise him for, I can praise him because he sent his son, the redemption lamb. I can praise him because he sent his son, heaven's greatest treasure, heaven's greatest gift. I can praise Him this morning because He sent the one who could do what I was unable to do for myself. Amen. To redeem me from the curse of sin. Amen. And because He's redeemed me, I'm no longer my own. Amen. That's the problem that we have to contend with. We keep wanting to do things our way. Gus just gave that testimony. He kept wanting to do it his way. Amen. But then when you realize you're not your own, and you start letting God do it His way, amen, things begin to turn around immediately. Amen. He don't set you free. He makes you free. Amen. I told you about that. Now, let me just use that illustration again in case you wasn't here. There were slaves who were in bondage in the South in America who found their way to freedom through the Underground Railroad. Harriet Tubman led hundreds through the Underground Railroad into freedom in the North. They were free from the bondage that they were in. And they had found freedom, but they weren't made free. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I said, well, if somebody could catch them and take them back, they could get paid a ransom to bring them back. Because as far as the law was concerned, they were someone else's property. Onesiphorus. Yeah, Jim laughed at me. Go read the book of Philemon. A slave that had run away, Onesiphorus. I can't even pronounce it this morning. He had run away. He belonged to somebody. And they sent him back. But he sent him with a letter. Same changes. Now, there were slaves who were able to work outside of the job that they were in. They could purchase their freedom. When they purchased their freedom, they were given a paper, a legal document. It was recorded somewhere that they were free. They weren't merely free, set free, but they were made free. Amen. Do you see the difference? Do you understand the difference? Folks, sometimes we think that we belong to us. We think that we stole away and we've done it all on our own. We haven't. We can separate ourselves from sin. We can separate ourselves from sinful actions. Let me say this. Let me put it that way. But we can never make ourselves free from sin. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, am I confusing anybody? I want you to understand this. I can keep away from the drinking. I can keep away from the drugs. I can keep away from everything else. But I can't make myself free from it. But praise God when Jesus comes into your heart. Amen. When Jesus makes the difference. Amen. He don't just set you free. He makes you free. Amen. And He's redeemed us from the curse of sin. And He's made us free. Amen. We are legally set free from the bondage of sin. We're legally set free from the demands of sin. We're legally set free because God has paid the price in His precious Son to make us free. Amen. He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. He's redeemed us from the curse of sin. And He said, and He crowneth. Amen. He crowneth our lives with loving kindness and His tender mercies. You know what that tells me? That God doesn't just look at us and just doesn't think of us as a thing. He doesn't just think of us as an obligation or a reason. But when he sees us, thank you, Brother Jim. When he sees us, he thinks of us and he realizes just exactly who we are. We're his. We're his. We've been bought with a price. We've been made free. We've been brought from where we was in spiritual darkness into spiritual light. We've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. And he has set his mark upon us because we're his. We're no longer in bondage. We're no longer who we once were. Now we're his. Now we've been adopted into his family. In Galatians it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, to buy them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, sent forth the spirit of a son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise God. I'm glad this morning that I'm more than just a purchase. I'm glad this morning I'm more than just an object. I'm glad this morning that I've been made a one of his. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. And he has set his mark upon me. You know what a crown is? It's a status symbol. A crown is not just a status symbol, but it's an emblem of who we are and who we belong to. We put a crown on Miss America. We crown her. We crown Miss Universe. We do things, and they are crowning achievements because we want them marked that the world may see and that the world may know. And praise God, he sets his mark upon us. He puts his crown upon us. He gives us something that the world may know. You know, when the prodigal son come back from that foreign land and he come to the father's house and he said, I'll just go back and let my father make me a servant. But praise God, his father seen him coming afar off and he went and met him and he told the servants, put the robe on him, put the sandals on him and put a ring on his finger. He's restored. He's a son. He's got the marks of the son, and I want everybody to know that he's my child. Amen. I tell you what, has God been good to somebody here? Amen. Is God's mark and God's crown upon your life? Amen. You can see his blessings upon your life. You can see his blessings upon the things, the works of your hand and the things that you do. You can see his blessings upon your finances. You don't make much. You don't have much. But praise God, he makes it much anyway. Amen. He takes a little bit and makes it a whole lot. You have a whole lot and he uses it to his glory and to great benefit. Praise God this morning that he's able to do things like we never imagined could happen. You know why he does that? Because we're his. Amen. And the world can know where he is. The world looks at the child of God in times of trouble and says, where do you find such peace? I'm one of his. Amen. How do you have joy in the midst of the sorrow? Because I'm one of his. How do you deal and how do you contend with these problems? I'm one of his. Amen. It's a mark that's evident. It's a mark that the world is aware of. John tells us in 1 John 4:16 that God is love. He crowns us with his love. He crowns us with loving kindness. And he gives us something that the world may know that we're his. He gives us those tender mercies. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:10 that we as his people, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now ye have obtained mercy. The crown of God is on our hearts, but it's evident in our lives, and it's evident in everything we do. It's evident in everything we say. It's evident in everything that God has blessed us with. Amen. And listen, lastly, I tell you what, Now, you're going to sit down this week. Most of you are going to sit down, and most of you are going to be just like me and just like most other people. You're going to sit down to a big old turkey dinner. I think Brother Mary and Sister Jim are doing that today. I think we just might stop by and join. They're celebrating their Thanksgiving dinner today. Hey, man, Brother Jim's going to come back tonight so stuffed. So stuffed. Isn't he, Mary? Hey, man. He's going to be just like most of us are. Hey, man. We're going to be so stuffed we can't get nothing else in. We're going to be totally satisfied. Hey, man. You know, you get so filled and you get so full. You said a baby milks out. Hey, man. A baby will drink milk. And they finally get satisfied. They'll just spit that bottle out, roll them on. They go right on to sleep. Amen. Amen. They're satisfied. Amen. When they're not satisfied, they're a little cranky. Amen. When they're not satisfied, they're a little fussy. Amen. But you let that baby get satisfied. I tell you what. What do you call me sometimes? Hangry. She said, I forget to eat. Get busy doing something, forget to eat. And come in and say, fix me something. She says, settle down. I said, I'm hungry now. She says, you're hangry. Settle down here a minute. You're hungry and angry at the same time. She says, you're angry because you're hungry or something. I don't know what she says, but praise God. We get that way when we're not satisfied. Amen. But I tell you what, you throw some food my way and the hangry leaves right away. You give a baby some milk and that fussiness leaves right away. You give somebody that is just really anxious and really wanting to eat, the worst thing to do is take anybody to a grocery store when they're hungry, amen, because they'll buy the whole store, amen. They'll buy the whole store and get home and wonder why the grocery bill was so high, because they wanted everything they see, because they weren't satisfied. But you eat before you go to the store and it's proven fact, you'll buy less, amen. You'll buy less. You know what? When Jesus satisfies us, or when Jesus fills us, now when Jesus gives us all that he gives us, we find out that we don't need anything else. When we got Jesus, we got all that we need. Amen. He satisfies. Amen. I preached yesterday. Praise God. We had a funeral service here yesterday, and we was under a very strict time constraint to get to the cemetery. Kathy talked, and she wasn't too long, and then her brother talked, and I'm looking at the clock, and when he got done talking, I had about 8 minutes before we had to dismiss and get out of here. And it was killing me not to be able to preach. Amen. We got to the cemetery. Amen. And guess what? The color guard was there, but the honor guard wasn't. And they hadn't even left Rising Sun yet. The guy said, I don't know what to do. We can just do something with the flag and go on. I said, no, she really wants this 21-gun salute. This is real big. I could tell it was just really bothering Kathy. So I said, I'll tell you what. I said, call. He said, well, I called. He said, they're already on their way. All right. I said, fellas, I'm a Baptist preacher. I got this. Amen. And I begin to preach into those folks about the hope of the resurrection and the hope that's in Jesus and how only Jesus can satisfy. You can hope for everything in this world, but nothing in this world will ever satisfy you like Jesus will satisfy you. And praise God, I want you to know this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you'll never know what it is to be satisfied. But if you know him this morning, you can find satisfaction. You can find peace. You can find hope. You can find joy. You can find contentment. You can find everything that you need in him. You know why? Because he completely satisfied. He don't satisfy just the belly. He don't just satisfy the flesh, but praise God, he satisfies the spirit. He don't just satisfy the spirit, but he'll satisfy the mind. He don't just satisfy the mind, but he'll satisfy your heart and give you a peace that the world can't understand. And praise God this morning, if you don't have something to praise him for the fact that he satisfies. Amen. Amen. He satisfies. The psalmist says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He satisfies. He satisfies. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation. Let's stand to our feet this morning.